St. Paul wrote to the Romans, "Everything that was written in the past was written for our learning, so that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Many of the wonderful stories in the Old Testament serve as examples of how this faith that God has given us in the Scriptures, how this played out in the lives of His faithful. Today we have a wonderful story before us from 2 Samuel chapter 9, from the life of King David. Now yesterday, our chapel speaker, Professor Tigan, rightly pointed out in the context of the text for yesterday from Romans 7 regarding the struggle that the believer has between being a saint and sinner, rightly pointed out in the life of David how David had fallen into the horrific sins with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband and so on, very much displaying the peccator, the sinful side of the believer. Today, we have one of the wonderful virtues displayed in our text by King David, displaying how his heart of faith responded to the grace of God. And just to set the scene a little bit for this story, David, of course, succeeded Saul, who had been the first king of Israel. And Saul had tried to kill David because he knew that he had been anointed to be the next king, and yet David respected him and so on. And David befriended Saul's son, Jonathan. Jonathan knew that his father was kind of losing it and worked to even help preserve David's life, who would be the next king. Earlier on, before the text we'll be reading, David and Jonathan had established a special bond of love and friendship, more than just a love between each other, but what is described as a covenant love, an agreement love. And this is what Jonathan had requested of David. And that's important for us to know as we now look at the things coming up in our text. Years had gone by, Saul had died, David was now on the throne, Jonathan was dead. And Jonathan's little boy, Mephibosheth — I always loved this story when I was young just because I like saying Mephibosheth — but Mephibosheth, this young boy of Jonathan, who had now grown to be an adult, when he was a little child had been dropped, and because of that, we're told that he was lame in his feet because of this injury. And the story also used to strike me when I was little, because on our block we had a boy that was about my age who likewise was lame in his feet, and I saw the difficulties that gave him in his life. Well, just prior to our text, God had recently reiterated his great covenant promise to David about the coming Messiah, and that he would establish the throne of this Messiah through David's line forever. And so it's in the context of all of this now that we read what comes in this text before us from 2 Samuel. And David's compassion is highlighted for us by God in the Scriptures. And it's highlighted even more by the fact that in this era, it was very typical for a king, once he assumed the throne, to execute any of the heirs of the previous king so that they wouldn't rise up against him and so on. And as we listen to this text that I'll read in a minute, as we listen to this text, I'd like you to hear it in a sense on two levels. First of all, certainly as a historical event in the life of David, which shows this mercy and compassion that he had for Mephibosheth. But secondly, I'd like you to listen to this story in a parallel set of ears as well, and that is this: to think of it in a parabolic way, as a parable of God's relationship to us. David the king representing God, Mephibosheth representing us. So let's hear the reading of this text now, this story. "Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, 'Mephibosheth?' And he answered, 'Here is your servant.' So David said to him, 'Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually.' Then he bowed himself and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?" And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. You, therefore, and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest, that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do." "As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons." Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. Here ends the reading. Jesus says to us in the New Testament, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." This story presents some beautiful grapes on the branch of David. By grace, God had made David his child, just like he's done for us, grafting us into the vine of Christ in the waters of baptism through his holy word, making us believers in Christ, causing our hearts to recognize our own sinfulness and the great need that we have for the grace of God that he's shown us in our Savior and the hope of heaven we have in that. Mephibosheth, in a sense in the story representing us, parabolically, calls himself a dead dog. "Who am I that the king should think of me to let me come and sit at his table?" And that's a wonderful picture of our actual condition. Dogs before God. Dead dogs. And yet God, in his grace through Christ, by granting us faith, permits us to feast at his own table. Now, the life-giving juices that are in the vine of Christ go out into the branches of his faithful and produce grapes in their lives. And we see this in David. The vine of Christ that he's attached to by faith has the same juice of mercy and grace that now enters David's heart as a believer and causes him to do this great act of compassion toward Mephibosheth. And this is the very nature of the mercy of God. When it comes into the hearts and minds of his faithful, it will go out into their lives, through their mouths and their hands and their eyes. It will come out. The same charity that God has shown toward us in Christ finds its way through the branches to produce fruits in the lives of the faithful. A great theologian by the name of Johann Gerhard put it like this: "True and sincere love is an unfailing characteristic of the godly soul." It has to be, because we're connected to the vine where that juice comes from, the greatest source of forgiveness and love. Now, God places these types of stories in the Bible for us, not only to have us learn from them, but also to motivate us and to inspire us in our lives as his faithful in this world. God loves to walk through his vineyard and check out the grapes. He loves to look at the healthy branches and to see these little acts of kindness and mercy that come from the mouths and the hands and in the lives of his faithful toward other people. And in order to stir up this activity in his faithful even more, God has laid before you in the Bible two great promises when this is done. One is this: that he will find some way to bless our generosity and charity in return. "He who sows generously will reap generously," our Lord says. And secondly, he gives us joy when we do this. Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And you've experienced that in your own life. When you have an opportunity to help someone and you get to do something for them, maybe something that really helps them out, that's an awesome feeling. It's a wonderful feeling. And that's what God is talking about. So he has attached these two great blessings to us when these acts of charity are worked out in our lives. And we don't have to look very far for opportunities. David had to think about this and send somebody back to find Mephibosheth. But we have opportunities that come in front of us all the time. And they don't have to be big. They don't have to be enormous. But even the small little ways, how we treat people in the hallways and so on, is a reflection of the mercy God has shown us in Christ. I can imagine Mephibosheth sitting at David's table with this feast in front of him every night, probably the beautiful table setting that is there and everything, servants waiting on him hand and foot, thinking to himself, just think how wonderful it is that the king has let me sit here every night and permitted me to be treated like this. And may you and I likewise say even now, and especially when we arrive in heaven, oh, what manner of love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great compassion on us sinners that has made us your own dear children. Stir up our hearts of faith to exhibit the same love and mercy toward others in our day-to-day lives, that we may reflect the grace of Christ in our lives. We ask it all in his saving name. Amen.